Good morning. My brethren and I would wish to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And for those who are here visiting today, we also extend a warm welcome to you. We hope and pray that each one that is gathered here today will feel the warmth and the tenderness of God's Spirit in your hearts. And as we sit under the ministry of our brother Mike, that our understanding might be expanded in this day. We have one change to our bulletin, if you will, the order. Brother Lee Botiford couldn't be with us today, and so Brother Jared Coons, who, as you have noticed, already has responsibility this morning in the ministry of music, and so I thank Jared for stepping in a moment's notice. Literally a moment ago, I asked him, so for our scripture reading, I have selected section 38 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord your God, even Jesus Christ, the great I am, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the same which looked upon the wide expanse of eternity and all the seraphic hosts of heaven before the world was made, the same which knoweth all things, for all things are present before mine eyes. I am the same which spake, and the world was made, and all things came by me. I am the same which have taken the Zion of Enoch into mine own bosom. And verily I say, even as many as have believed on my name, for I am Christ, and in mine own name, by the virtue of the blood which I have spilt, have I pled before the Father for them. But behold, the residue of the wicked have I kept in chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day, which shall come at the end of the earth. And even so will I cause the wicked to be kept, that will not hear my voice, but harden their hearts, and woe, woe, woe is their doom. But behold, verily I say unto you, that mine eyes are upon you. I am in your midst, and ye cannot see me. But the day soon cometh that ye shall see me, and know that I am, for the veil of darkness shall soon be rent, and he that is not purified shall not abide the day. Wherefore, gird up your loins and be prepared. Behold, the kingdom is yours, and the enemy shall not overcome.
Stand. our loving Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you be with us, Lord. We ask for your humble spirit to be upon us, Lord. We ask for a blessing upon the mic and that he can bring about your message, Lord, and that we will be attentive to your message, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will guide us and protect us in these days, Lord, that you will humble our spirits and help us to defend thee and to seek thee out in our daily lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
At this portion of our service, I would just remind each one, and I probably don't need to remind any either one of you, that this part of the service, and as we consider, as the plates are passed before us, what offering we give. And it doesn't matter what the person next to us or the next row over gives. And each one of us, I would just encourage for you to be mindful in this day what we need to give. And as we give our monies, it is really symbolic of our lives and how much we offer through our lives and our service. And sometimes we come to a point where we aren't able to offer, whether through our time or things of that nature. It is easier for us to give of our monetary blessings. But I would just ask you to consider this day, and in preparation for the time ahead, what sacrifice, what offering are we willing to give? And the days ahead, that sacrifice that we will be asked to give. And so if you would consider those things, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you, O God, for the many gifts and blessings of this life. We thank you for those things which you have blessed us with, for we know that they have all come from thee. And as we give, Lord, I pray that you will inspire us to be mindful and to give of that which we have and to even offer that sacrifice a little bit more. Lord, please bless those who have a desire to give but are unable, and help them to see in those areas which they can give of their time and of their efforts. For we know, Lord, it takes many different offerings of this day, and each one of us has a gift. Lord, may we each one magnify that gift before the world, and may we give it to you willingly. And Lord, please bless those monies that will be taken up, that they might further your work on this earth in the temporal realm that we find ourselves in. And so, Lord, please bless us. Please bless our hearts. Please bless each one in attendance and all those who can hear. And, Lord, may your spirit continue with us now, is our prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
My scripture reading is taken from the 43rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, beginning at the 5th verse. Hearken ye, for behold, the great day of the Lord is nigh at hand. For the day cometh that the Lord shall utter his voice out of heaven. The heavens shall shake, and the earth shall tremble, and the trump of God shall sound both long and loud, and shall say to the sleeping nations, ye saints, arise and live, ye sinners, stay and sleep until I shall call again. Wherefore, gird up your loins, lest ye be found among the wicked. Lift up your voices and spare not. Call upon the nations to repent, both old and young, both bond and free, saying, prepare yourselves for the great day of the Lord. And again, the Lord shall utter his voice out of heaven, saying, hearken, O ye nations of the earth, and hear the words of the God who made you. O ye nations of the earth, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. How oft have I called upon you by the mouths of my servants, and by the ministering of angels, and by my own voice, and by the voice of thunderings, and by the voice of lightnings, and by the voice of tempests, and by the voice of earthquakes, and great hailstorms, and by the voice of famines and pestilences of every kind, and by the great sound of a trump, and by the voice of judgment, and by the voice of mercy all the day long, and by the voice of glory and honor and the riches of eternal life, and would have saved you with an everlasting salvation, but ye would not. Behold, the day has come when the cup of the wrath of mine indignation is full. Behold, verily I say unto you that these are the words of the Lord your God. Wherefore, labor ye in my vineyard for the last time. For the last time, call upon the inhabitants of the earth, for in mine own due time will I come upon the earth in judgment, and my people shall be redeemed and shall reign with me on earth. Hearken ye to these words. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Treasure these things up in your hearts, and let the solemnities of eternity rest upon your minds. Be sober. Keep all my commandments. Even so, amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of the record. Appreciate you, brethren, for that beautiful ministry that you have brought this morning. It is an old, old path. It's that path that we desire to walk to find the Master. Brothers and sisters, I come to you this morning humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. I am honored to stand with my brethren of the priesthood who occupy this platform. My message today is not an easy one. Yet it is one that has weighed on my heart for quite some time. I think you will agree with me that the world is in quite a state right now. It seems like chaos and confusion is just all around us. It's a fearful and scary time in which we live. But you know, we have a promise. In the 38th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we have the promise that if we are prepared, we need not fear. And so, I have been prompted this morning to speak on the importance of preparation for an event of supreme importance to each and every one of us in this place and all who are gathered listening. That event is the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Toward the close of Christ's earthly ministry, his disciples, being concerned about his teachings of the end of the world, went to him, privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" To which Jesus responded, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Interesting response. The Savior then explained to his disciples the signs and happenings which will occur prior to his second coming. And these are recorded in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and they warrant careful study. Jesus informed his disciples that iniquity will abound. False Christ shall deceive many. False prophets shall arise, showing great signs and wonders, and deceive even the very elect. And great tribulations shall prevail. There will be wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and the abomination of desolation is spoken of by the prophet Daniel. The scriptural prophecies of the events that are to precede Christ's second coming serve as a guide and a warning to all inhabitants of the earth. And yet, we are told it is only those who follow him who recognize these signs for their true significance and understand their true meaning. As John the Baptist was sent prior to Christ's birth to prepare the way for his ministry, so did God send a prophet in this last dispensation of time to usher in his gospel as a lone warning voice in preparation for the second coming of our Savior. The prophet Joseph Smith testified to a doubting world that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. The Lord and Latter-day Revelation reaffirmed the tribulations, desolations, calamities, and destructive forces of the last days. And he warned us, "And in that day shall be heard of wars and rumors of wars, and the whole earth shall be in commotion. And the love of men shall wax cold, and iniquity shall abound. Men standing in that generation shall not pass until they shall see an overflowing scourge, for a desolating sickness shall cover the land. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and many desolations. Yet men will harden their hearts against me, and they will take up the sword one against the other, and they will kill one another." Sound familiar? Famine and plagues are exploding throughout the world, even upon our own land. The world's glaciers are melting so rapidly that scientists revise their status annually instead of every 10 to 20 years, as they have up to this point. Hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, and other disasters are increasing in alarming rates and in intensity. It seems that for many years there have always been wars somewhere in the world, as well as the constant rumors of one country preparing for battle against another. However, now, those rumblings are growing louder, and feelings of uneasiness and perhaps anxiousness weighs us down as we watch the evening news. Without question, the world is ripening in iniquity. There are many in positions of power who have no hesitation or remorse in deceiving, lying, and leading people in the paths of darkness and sin. There are those who falsely claim to be Jesus Christ or prophets, and by their cunning and deceit, draw thousands of followers by appealing to their human emotions rather than possessing the authority of God's holy priesthood to act by his power with an outpouring of his Spirit. Satan has great power over men, sadly, even to the extent that there are those who openly claim to the world to be his disciples and to worship him. I never thought I'd see that day. More and more, we see countries with unstable governments. Some of those countries have fallen. There's a continuing breakdown in the integrity, honesty, and righteousness of political, governmental, and business leaders throughout the world. The world today is filled with men who have forsaken or forgotten God. They're seeking to change his laws by exercising their own moral judgments. Perhaps to them, God is no longer sufficient. They forget that God's commandments are eternal and unchangeable. And I'd ask this question: do you think it is possible for the created ever to be wiser than the Creator? I think not. Our courts of justice are substituting man-made laws for God's laws and commandments as if he no longer exists. But God is not dead. He remains the same forever, resolute, firm, unchanging, but full of love and compassion for his children. We know the power of evil is opposed to the power of God, and it is readily evident that Satan currently wields great powers in the affairs of men and of nations. 2 years ago, even a year ago, would we have envisioned the burning of our cities or the tearing down and destruction of monuments and statues that were a part of our nation's history? As we look upon our country and the world, it is indeed frightening. It would be easy to make every effort to close ourselves off and to hide. A lesser people would. And yet, as we, as members of Christ's church, we have been called to act, not hide. The Lord instructed Joseph Smith, prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh. In the most difficult and discouraging days of World War II, Winston Churchill said to the people of England, to every man there comes that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a special thing unique to him and fitted to his talent. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work which would be his finest hour. As we ponder the solemnities of eternity, isn't that beautiful language? Ponder the solemnities of eternity. Let us be sure that we thoroughly understand the most important things that we can do to prepare ourselves for our Lord's second coming to the earth, and by our obedience and faithfulness, escape his punishment. Saints, we must set our homes in order. This means searching our souls and recognizing when we sin against God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and then get on our knees and repent, earnestly begging for his forgiveness. You know, God expects us to have a prayer in our heart at all times, through all of our daily tasks and chores. But as we consider approaching our God in mighty and fervent prayer, where we pour out our souls to him for petition and blessing, he expects formality and reverence. And this can be shown by removing our shoes and getting on our knees as best as we physically are able to do, and kneeling before him and giving glory to our Creator, the one who created each and every one of us out of the dust of the earth. How do I know? How do I know that we are supposed to get on our knees? If God commanded Moses, out of the midst of a burning bush, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground, how much more righteous are we not to demonstrate the same reverence as we kneel before the presence of our God? Our preparation means trying to keep God's commandments. I think I've said it before. He doesn't expect us to be perfect in a blink of an eye. It's a process. And that process is to try to keep his commandments and living a righteous life, being just a little bit better each and every day, each day. And as those days pass, it will get to the point to where we are fully sanctified and perfect in him. Our preparation means loving our neighbor. It means being honest in all that we do. It means being good husbands and wives, always working together, helping each other to continually strengthen that bond between us so that Satan is never able to tear our families apart. It means teaching and training our children in the ways of righteousness. It requires us to stand in holy places. Surely, our sanctuary, those places of worship, are such holy places. Places where we enter, we are impressed with the words, "Be still and know that I am God." There's a difference. Being in this holy place and room, as opposed to being in other rooms or being outside, if we are ever to receive a greater degree of God's Spirit in our services and have those so-called mountaintop experiences, he requires utter silence and the utmost reverence out of respect for his presence. If the Lord was physically here in our midst, do you think that there would be any degree of lightheartedness, levity, or commotion? I think not. Every knee would bow, and tears would wet the floor as we recognize our unworthiness before him. Saints, if we truly desire for our children, as well as ourselves, to experience the power of God's Spirit in our worship services, we should understand that in this, the house of the Lord, there is no talking loudly, laughing, running, or playing. Our behavior and preparation should be one of soberness and of quiet reflection with the expectation to meet our God. Preparing for our Lord's return means being valiant in testimony, testifying of the love that our Father and his Son Jesus has for us, sharing those experiences and blessings that we have received as a result of his precious love. It means spreading the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the peoples of the world. The Lord has said, Section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 20. I will hasten my work in its time. There's an urgency in his work. I think that the scriptures that I have read, the word of the Lord demonstrates that time is short. And yet, this sense of urgency in assisting in the building up of our Lord's kingdom, Zion, in this last day, it doesn't rise out of panic, but it arises out of a desire to build a safe, a city that is a place of safety and refuge for all peoples of the world who are seeking the light, and the truth of the gospel. This is the only sure way that will bring lasting peace to a sin-sick world. And this is God's plan. This is his plan for all who would bow the knee to him. Let us remember that the scripture says it is God, not us, who will hasten his work in the building up of Zion. Yes, it is. It is up to us to prepare our lives to serve and be ready at a call. However, he is in control of the time. Time he has already determined that only he knows as to when the last trump will sound. God will hasten his work by opening the heavens and sending the Holy Ghost to select men of his priesthood, godly men who have diligently studied his word and have prepared themselves to be entrusted with a greater degree of his spirit, even the endowment under which they can go forth, and no earthly power will prevent them from achieving his divine purposes. They will do this to warn his children and to prepare them to receive their Lord at his second coming. In the 87th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord says, "For it shall come to pass in that day that every man shall hear the fullness of the gospel in his own tongue and in his own language through those who are ordained unto this power by the administration of the Comforter shed forth upon them for the revelation of Jesus Christ." Christ emphasized that it is the 11th hour and the last time that I shall call laborers into my vineyard. In setting up his latter-day church, the Savior affirmed that this is the last time that his kingdom will be established upon the earth. The prophet Daniel, in the second chapter, the 44th verse, speaking of God's work in the last day, revealed that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed nor left to another people, and it shall stand forever. The days in which you live and in which I live, these are the days that are the last dispensation of time. In a portion of my patriarchal blessing, given through Brother Henry Schaefer, the Lord tells me, quote, "You are living in the time when so many of my servants had desires to live." Think about that. If I'm living in this time, each of you are too. Why did he choose us over Moses, Isaiah, or the 12, or any of his servants that we read about in the scriptures? It wasn't by accident. Our time was appointed by him. So God must have seen something special in each and every one of us, that if we will avail ourselves, if we will diligently search the scriptures and prepare ourselves, we will have the joy of bringing souls unto him, and it will be for his glory. The Lord has never indicated that his church of the latter days would fail. In fact, just the opposite is true. "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God will triumph over all who would fight against him. It is imperative for each of us to understand what lies in the balance in these perilous last days. Our responsibility to give warning to the word is to the world is vital. The Savior said in the 10th chapter of Luke, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord cautions us as to the timing of his return. And again, verily I say unto you, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and it overtaketh the world as a thief in the night. Sadly, after all the prophetic warnings to the people of our day, there are those that do not accept them or believe them. I suppose they attribute them to man-made ideas such as climate change or the political climate or the belief that God doesn't care how we worship. And yet, the Lord speaks these words, "And the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among my people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances, and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world and whose substance is that of an idol." First section of Doctrine and Covenants. And again he said, "What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken. And I excuse not myself, and though the heavens and the earth pass away, my word shall not pass away, but shall all be fulfilled, whether it be by my voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same." Brothers and sisters, there's no question that we are living in troublesome and perilous times. It's a pretty bleak picture that I've spent the last few minutes painting. And yet it's the word of the Lord. And in keeping with how the Lord works with us, he warns us, but he doesn't leave us. And so, he won't leave us to face these storms alone. Hear the words of the Master. "Fear not, little children, for you are mine, and I have overcome the world, and you are them that my Father hath given me, and none of them that my Father hath given me shall be lost. And the Father and I are one, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and inasmuch as ye have received me, ye are in me, and I in you. Wherefore, I am in your midst. I am the good shepherd and the stone of Israel. He that buildeth upon this rock shall never fall. And the day cometh that you shall hear my voice and see me and know that I am Watch therefore, that ye may be ready. Even so, amen and amen.
Heavenly Father, and in Jesus' name, Lord, we are grateful for the freedom and the agency that we have to come and to worship you, to feel your spirit, and to hear your gospel. Lord, we pray that the testimony of your Son would be sealed in each of our hearts, and that spirit which has attended us this hour would go forward with us, that it may abide with us until we meet again. And we come together as we meet as the body of thy church. As we find ourselves in these, the latter days, Lord, we pray that I would be single to you, that the honor and the glory be given to you, that you would use us, that you would work with us, that you would have patience with us. And as we strive to do those things, as we strive to recognize the times that we are in, Lord, we pray that you would be with us. And we are grateful for the gift of your Son, the gift of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.